Hope everybody had a good week. I just got a text from Sadie. She's not here today. They just took her grandpa down to Cincinnati ICU. Some problems down there with his health. So please remember Sadie's grandpa. She's probably with him today. I guess a little explanation. Last night, my grandson wanted to FaceTime with Papa so I could show him how to tie a tie. And he didn't like the one I had picked out, so he wanted me to pick this one out. So, and he said, wear it with a colorful shirt. So I did. Okay. But he learned how to tie the Shelby, which is the right knot, not the Windsor that leans to one side or the double Windsor that uses too much knot, too much tie. Anyway, so we want to look today at a home that is an example of hospitality. Now, this is not your run-of-the-mill home. In this home are three individuals that we know of. We don't know if any of them are married. We don't know if any of them are widowed. We don't even have any idea what their age is. What we do know is that the man in this home is the only person in all the Bible who is called the friend of Jesus, the one who is your friend, in John 11, verses 1 and 2. And he has two sisters, Mary and Martha. He's the one person we know of who was dead for 4 days, and Jesus raised to life. Now, our first scene is before that takes place. And the second one, technically, is as well. We want to take a look at three scenes in this home, in this example of hospitality in Luke 10, John 11, and John 12. We'll start in Luke 10. Martha opens her home to Jesus and his disciples. If you'd like to join with us, we're going to be reading first in Luke 10. We're going to go, like I said, we're going to be in three passages, Luke 10, and then John 11, and then John 12. In Luke 10, he says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Her home. Lazarus is her brother, but somehow it's her home. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Okay, Martha opened her home to Jesus. I'm not sure what the relationship, if Martha is a widowed lady, and this is her home that she has somehow inherited. However it is, this is their home. We're talking this year about homes as havens, and we've talked about homes with children, but there's homes that we don't know of any children being there, and our homes, whatever our lot in life, our homes are still to be havens for God. Our homes are still to be used for God, whether we've got kids in our homes or not. Okay? Let's continue. What are the responsibilities of hospitality? It says Jesus and the disciples come. When Jesus comes over, he's got at least 12 guys following him. And if you go to Acts chapter 1, you've also got Matthias and Judas called Justus. And so, he's got at least 15 or 16 guys with him. So that changes meal plans, doesn't it? And so Martha is busy making sure everything's taken care of for all these people. She is providing an atmosphere of hospitality, an atmosphere of friendship. This is a lot of work, but because of what she does, Mary's able to sit at the feet of Jesus. The other disciples are able to sit at the feet of Jesus, and they're able to hear his words. And so she's busy working and she's providing an environment. It's a lot of work. Sometimes it's a thankless task. In this situation, to Martha, it seems like a thankless task. And so she says, Jesus, don't you care that Mary's left me to do all the serving all by myself? Now, if you're going to ask Jesus a question, never begin with, don't you care? Because it's Jesus. Everything he does, he cares. He's always moved by compassion. So yes, he cares, but she's upset. She's upset because she believes she has a thankless task. You guys have never felt that way, have you? You ladies have never felt that way, have you? Okay, sometimes you're that way. Sometimes it feels like nobody cares. I'm doing all this work and nobody's helping me out. But because of what she does, Jesus has this great environment to teach the disciples and to teach Mary. And they're listening to her. They're hanging on his words. Now, what are the blessings to come to those who show hospitality? Jesus talks to her. He says, Martha, Martha, you're so busy about all these things. You don't have to do all these things. You don't have to make sure there's no spot on the silverware. They ate with their hands and a piece of bread, so they didn't have to worry about that. But I mean, you don't have to worry that everything's going to be just right in your meal. You don't have to have all those other things. Few things are necessary. You don't have to have all that. He says, there's only one thing that's needful. And that's what Mary chose. And we're going to get to that here in a minute. But he says, you don't have to be worried about all this stuff you're doing. Hospitality, you don't have to have the fanciest meal like they have on, you know, in the magazines. They have all these nice plates with all this nice, you know, just, you know, beans and cornbread's not a bad meal. Okay? And the house doesn't have to be, you know, where you can do the white glove treatment on the mantle. It's okay if it looks lived in, maybe not squalored in, but lived in, okay? You can let your house just, the people didn't come to inspect your house. I've had like probably 6 or 7 different groups of people in my house this week, okay, in different situations. And just had them over. This one come by, and then this one come by. And I had 3 different groups at one time in my house, which was kind of an interesting day. But you use your home to glorify God. And if you do that, there's all these great friendships that are available. Lazarus is called the person who is the friend of Jesus. I think Martha had something to do with that. I think she developed an atmosphere with her hospitality that allowed Lazarus to be known as the one who is the friend of Jesus. You know, because when they come to get Jesus over in Perea because Lazarus is sick and hadn't yet died, they said, the one who is your friend, the one who's known as your friend, he's the one who's sick. They didn't even have to mention his name because Jesus knew. His friend is Lazarus. And Martha's hospitality, I believe, helped do that. And your hospitality helps do that. I'm not saying it's easy. Hers is so tough that she says, have Mary come and help me. The word that she uses there is, I got something too big to lift. Help her. I need someone to help me lift it. Okay, so if she's got a pot of beans big enough or whatever, she's got a pot big enough that she needs someone to help her lift. Have her come and help me lift is what it literally says. Help me carry. Okay, now, Mary's also in the house. Same verse. We're not going to read them again, but look at them. Okay, Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. While Martha's in the kitchen getting everything ready, Mary is just sitting at the feet of Jesus going, oh, wow, this is amazing. This is so awesome. Sometimes, as hospitality is being shown by one person or by some people, other people are just enjoying the benefits of it. And Mary's one of those. Mary just sit. Can you imagine getting to just sit at the feet of Jesus and listening to him teach? Wouldn't it be awesome? You know, he's telling all these great things, and you're just, oh, wow, oh, wow. She's hanging on his words. Like it tells later, Jesus' teaching, it says they were hanging on his words. Now, how does hospitality provide for comfortable listening? It provides an atmosphere. Hospitality is a great word. We're going to, later in, when we get to Hebrews 13, verse 2, he says, don't neglect to show hospitality. Okay, because by this, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Okay, hospitality is a conjoined word. It's the word for friend and the word for stranger, and you squeeze them together, and that makes one word, hospitality. What you're literally doing is you're taking a stranger and turning them into a friend. That's the plan. That's the goal of hospitality. So it provides comfortable listening. You're trying to let people have time to listen to each other's hearts, to develop relationships, develop friendships. It's personal. It's supposed to be personal. The early church, our homes were havens. Now, how does hospitality encourage closer relationships? Okay, the times you remember in life, aren't those sitting down at with somebody at their house or spending time with somebody, you know, there? Grandma, grandpa, whoever it was, cousins, you had this an environment where someone was providing hospitality, and in that setting, you had time to develop close personal friendships, didn't you? We want to be able to provide that for people. Hospitality does that. Now, let's go on. That was a small crowd. If you had 15 or 16 people over the house, would that be a big crowd? Okay, that's a small crowd. This is a bigger crowd. Lazarus has died. Jesus waited a couple of days in Perea. And then he says, come, let's go back. And the disciples said, hey, they're just trying to kill you. You're going to go? And Thomas, believing Thomas, says, let's go and die with him. And so they head back from Perea across the Jordan. They get to the edge of Bethany outside of town. And Martha, who is very well connected, hears what's going out. And she comes out to meet him at the edge of town. All right, that's where we are here in John 11. So if you have your Bible, let's turn to John 11. I should have been doing that. I should have been turning while I was talking. I can walk and chew gum at the same time, but I can't always do two other things at the same time. All right, no. So in John 11, verse 18, it says, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Okay? There's a funeral dinner going on. It's at her house. Mary's still in the house. Martha has left the house. She's come out. You ever go to somebody's house for a funeral dinner? The family that's mourning, what are they doing? Hopefully they're just being comforted. And all the hospitality that's going on in the house where the funeral dinner is taking place is being taken care of by all the friends. Right? Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? That's what I see going on in this situation. Martha, who is preparing the meal before and is going to be preparing the next meal that we look at. But in this time, she's not preparing a meal. She's going to see Jesus. She wants to spend time with Jesus. She gets to leave the house. Other people are taking care of, make sure the dinner's taken care of. If you've got someone that's lost a loved one, someone's in a need, what do? You go, you bring the meatloaf, you bring the mashed potatoes, you bring whatever, you bring the pie, you bring over, and you help, and you stay there, and you help get people taken care of, and you help wash the dishes, and you help get the house all cleaned up. Why? Because you're wanting to show a kindness to the people that are mourning, the people that are having a hard time. You want to bless them. That's what you do, right? That's what we do at funeral dinners. That's what's going on, I believe, in this situation. And it's not just a few, it says many. Now, it didn't say many when Jesus came with 12 disciples. So I think this is more than that. Okay? There's a bunch of these people because the Jews are upset that everybody who is later on going to witness Lazarus raised from the dead, all of those people, there's so many of them that the Jews want to kill Lazarus again. Because so many people are believing in Jesus because all these people are sharing their story. So there's a crowd of people that are there to encourage Mary and Martha in the loss of Lazarus. Now drop on down. Look at verse 31. Okay. Now Mary, when she hears about it, she comes out. It says, verse 31, when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. So now all this whole crowd has come with them. So there's this whole crowd coming with Jesus, and then Jesus is going to say, I want to go to the tomb, and he opened the tomb and they raise up Lazarus. But the thought is there's a whole crowd of people that have come to the home of Mary and Martha. Now, how can hospitality be practiced in your home when you're busy? Mary and Martha are busy talking to Jesus. They need comfort. Their brother has just died. How's the hospitality? Other people are going to do it. Sometimes, if hospitality is going to happen at your home, you have to let other people just be kind to you. Well, I don't want to be beholden to anybody. Who taught you that? Okay? You're supposed to let people serve you. Let people bless you when you're in that situation. Just let them help you out. And so sometimes when you're busy, you have to let somebody else do the serving. Let somebody else do the helping. That's the way things work. That's the way it worked in Mary and Martha's home. Now, how can you be blessed by hospitality when you're just overwhelmed? You know, she's able to go and spend time with Jesus. Mary's able to come and go spend time with Jesus. Why? Because other people are taking care of the crowd of people. They don't have to take care of the crowd. The crowd's kind of taking care of themselves. And that's the way we should be as the family of Christ. When somebody's having a hard time, and we need to have a funeral dinner, if we have it here in the multipurpose room, if we have it at their house, whatever the situation, we need to be doing this. And by the way, you guys do a great job of that. Everybody that's come for a funeral dinner that we have here at the building, they are way impressed. First, you ladies are great cooks. But secondly, you're good servants. You're washing, you know, all the dishes. You're keeping the place clean. You're filling everybody's drinks. You're redoing the coffee. You're doing whatever. You're really helping people out. That's what we do. That's what we do. We show hospitality. We're supposed to be doing this. And not just here, but especially in our homes. I remember when I went to Massachusetts, I preached up there from 80 to 85. And while I was there, I bought a house. And in the front of the house, you don't have the living room. You have the parlor. It's a parlor. We thought it was a parlor, but in Massachusetts, it's a parlor. Okay? And it's called the parlor that because nobody lives. I thought it was amazing. Most of the people, they would have like cloths over their furniture or plastic over their furniture. Nobody sat on anything in the parlor. That was for special occasions. And if someone dies, where do we take them? We take them to the funeral parlor. Why do we do that? Because that was the room of their house. If somebody died, that they had the big wake at people's houses. They had those times were in people's homes. Now we have funeral homes doing what we used to do in our homes. We also have restaurants doing what we used to do in our homes, and we have hotels doing what we used to do in our homes, because we're not doing much hospitality. But sometimes when you're overwhelmed, you have to let other people do that. Yes, sometimes we can let them do it out at a funeral parlor or at the church building or at somewhere else. But when you're overwhelmed, you just need help. And we as the body of Christ are called to be that help in their homes, in our multipurpose room, wherever it takes place. We've been called to show hospitality, especially when others are overwhelmed. Now let's go on. One more dinner, same family, but if you take the parallel passages in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this one's not at their house. But look who's serving. John chapter 12, just turn over one page. In John 12, verse 1 and 2, it says 6 days before the Passover. Passover's on Saturday, okay? This is probably like Monday. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. That's what he just did at the end of chapter 11. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those who were reclining at the table with him. Okay? Lazarus has just died. He's just been raised from the dead. Now, that's something to talk about during dinner. Okay? And they're having a dinner, not in his honor, but in Jesus' honor, because Jesus was the one that said, Lazarus, come forth. And I'm not sure how much of the fact they understand this is his last week. Jesus is going to die on the Passover. Okay? The day before the Passover. He's going to die. And so there's a dinner in his honor. Who's serving the dinner? Martha is serving. Now, if you go to Matthew and Luke, dinner is being held in the home of Simon, the leper. So he's not a leper anymore, because you're not allowed to be in the home of a leper because they're unclean. So Simon is one of the lepers that Jesus must have healed. So at the home of Simon the leper, who's no longer a leper, they're having a dinner. And the one who's serving the dinner, according to John's gospel, is Martha. It's not even her house, and she's still serving dinner. She's given hospitality. You know, we like to pick on Martha because of the Luke 10 passage we started in. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Martha's so upset by all the serving that she has to do, that Jesus has to say to her, Martha, Martha, few things are necessary, really only one's needful. And she was a little undone about that. But is she still a servant? Is she still serving people? Is she still providing an atmosphere where hospitality can take place? Yes. She is working hard so that can happen. And in this situation, Mary, her little sister, is going to take an alabaster jar. They didn't have ball canning jars, okay? So they had an alabaster jar that they put their precious potions, precious oils in. Pure nard today still sells at over $1,000 an ounce. She's got a pound of pure nard. That's at least $16,000 worth of ointment, oil that she's anointing the feet of Jesus with. She's taking that. So this is a family that's probably kind of well-to-do. But for whatever the situation, she's giving the best gift she has, probably the most valuable thing she has on earth. She's giving it to Jesus. But she does that in the context of a meal that her sister is serving at the home of Simon. Now, what responsibilities would come with harboring Jesus at that time? Notice I said harboring. The Jews have already made it known, if anybody knows where he is, tell us. If anybody says anything good about Jesus, tell us. They've already paid 30 pieces of silver to Judas to betray where he is. Judas doesn't have the money yet, but he's going to go get it here pretty soon. Excuse me, he hasn't yet paid, but they're going to pay him. But they're trying to work this thing out so that they can get Jesus. The next day he gets the money, and then he looks for an opportune time. So are there any responsibilities that come with harboring Jesus? Yeah. Jerusalem sits on a hill. I'm trying to go east and west here. Okay, just to the east of Jerusalem is the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is a long mountain ridge, but it's higher in elevation than the hill of Jerusalem. And so you can kind of look down. Now, on the other side of the Mount of Olives, there's a village nestled on the side of the hill. That's where Bethany is. It's a Sabbath day's journey. It's less than a mile from 2 miles max, okay? It's less than 2 miles to get from there into Jerusalem. And that's the route that Jesus is going to take, he just took on Sunday to get the donkey colt and go down into Jerusalem and see the temple and all that and clean out the temple. He comes back and spends the day with Mary and Martha that evening at dinner. Now, are there any responsibilities that close to Jerusalem when the chief priests and Pharisees want Jesus dead? Oh, yeah. Big responsibilities. The disciples are trying to keep him safe, and they're scared to death, and there's a lot going on in that situation. And here you are. You're providing dinner for someone who is a wanted man. He's wanted by people that heal him, but he's also wanted by people that want to put him to death. And he's at your house for dinner. Well, he's at your neighbor's house for dinner, and you're serving dinner. Now, how would responsibilities for hospitality increase during Jesus' last week? Wow! Okay? If you notice, on Saturday night, he spends the time in Bethany, and then he goes in Sunday morning on a donkey colt, and then he comes out and spends Sunday night in Bethany. I think at either Simon's house or at Mary and Martha and Lazarus' place. And then on Monday, he goes in and he comes back out and spends the night there. And Tuesday, he goes in and spends out the night. Wednesday, he goes in and spends the night back there. Why? Because it's not safe to be in Jerusalem. On Thursday, he knows it's time. And he doesn't retreat to Bethany. On Thursday, he stays in town and he lets them take him in the garden so he can die for our sins. Now, on Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, he's in Bethany. Do they have some responsibilities for hospitality? Harboring a wanted fugitive in their home? even if he happens to be the divine Son of God? Yes. Sometimes when you show hospitality, there's extra things that happen. Okay, where we used to serve, we had a college ministry. We had like 20,000 college students in town, and we'd have as many as 20 or 30 of them in our home. But sometimes when you'd have people come over, college students bring a posse with them. Not always, but a lot of times. You invite one over, and here comes two or three more. You invite one over, here comes two or three more. Okay. We'd invite your Uncle Tommy over, and he'd bring two or three friends with him. Okay. You can tell him I said that, too. We'd invite over, and they'd bring three or four more with them for dinner. And so you just had to find a way. You'd put more, another potato in the pot and have dinner. Now, should we get upset because we got more people and more responsibility sometimes for giving hospitality? Or do we have more opportunity to show kindness? Heaven is a place of rest. We've got work to do until then. And part of that work is showing hospitality. Our homes need to be havens, and especially in the aspect of hospitality. Now, because Martha does that, look what Mary's able to do. Look at verse 3. We're still in John 12. It says, then, Martha serving the meal, verse 2. Verse 3, then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Drop down to verse 7. Jesus says, leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. Okay? She has, Matthew says, she has done what she could. She has prepared my body for burial. What she has done will be spoken of her wherever the gospel is preached. Of all the kindnesses that we know of done to Jesus, there is one kindness that we can read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it's this one. Every gospel, wherever the gospel is preached, you hear about Mary showing this kindness to Jesus. That was made possible in an atmosphere of hospitality. Now, how could their homes be havens, even if we don't even hear about any children? You know, in all the stories that we've read about Mary and Martha and Lazarus, we don't hear about kids. We don't hear about grandkids. We don't hear about anybody there. Sometimes hospitality is shown in the atmosphere of children, and sometimes it's shown not in the atmosphere of children. We still, whatever our situation is, our homes need to be havens. These lessons are for all of us. Now, try that again. Okay, what declaration did Mary make for all time? I love this man. I will do whatever it takes to honor this man. He is my Savior. I owe him all that I have. I will give whatever I can to him. That's our task. That's what we've been called to. Our call, you know, we're not called to see how much we can amass for ourselves. You are not measured by what you have attained. You are measured by what you give. If you want to provide purses that do not have holes, you give of what you have for the cause of Christ. And she did that. And Martha did that. Now, the lesson this morning is pretty simple. We need to make our homes into havens of hospitality. I mentioned earlier Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Do not forget to entertain strangers, to show hospitality to strangers. Because in doing this, some have entertained angels without being aware of it. I don't know if I've entertained any angels or not, but some have. The best example is when three men approach Abraham in Genesis 18. What does he do? He has them kill a goat and take 25 pounds of flour to make into bread for three guys. I think they're big dudes. All I know is two of them leave And in chapter 19, verse 1, it says, the two angels appeared in Sodom and Gomorrah. And those two men that left Abraham after dinner. And he stayed and talked with Jehovah, stayed and talked with the Lord. So those who are his three guests that he just showed hospitality to. But you can show hospitality to God the same way. Because what did Jesus say in Matthew 25? If you do this to the least of my brethren, Matthew 25 verse 40, you've done it unto me. If you show this hospitality to the least of my brethren, you've shown it unto me. And so we can host Jesus in our homes by hosting others in our homes. Now, how are we allowing hospitality to bind us together? Guys, we need to know each other on a personal basis. How many people in this building right now know what your kitchen looks like? Okay? We are to live in such a way that people know us on a personal basis. Okay, we need to be allowing hospitality to bring us together. Because when you do, you get all kinds of friends. You have all kinds of people that know and love you. I came into town 8 years ago this Saturday. And before that, I'd come in to speak. And a couple said, why don't you just stay at our house? And so we stayed with Bob and Evelyn. Spent the night there, showered there, ate there, had a really nice breakfast with fruit. Okay, they ate a lot of fruit for breakfast, I found out. That's a good thing. Okay, why? They showed hospitality. They went out of their way to bless us and provide an environment for us to be in. That's what we're all called to do. And it binds us together. Now, when we're busy, are we still willing to show hospitality? Oh, I've got things I've got to get done. What's more important than relationships? We need to be putting first things first. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. And hospitality allows both of those to take place at one time. Let's make sure that we work on that. Now, when people are mourning, how can we bless them? That whole crowd of people that came to Mary and Martha's house because they lost Lazarus. When people come to your house, whatever it is, let them serve you if they want to. Let them bring the food over. That's why God made Ziploc freezer bags. You can just put it away and freeze it later, okay? And you can use that later. But the thought is, let them serve you. And if you know someone that's hurting, let's make it a point to serve them and bless them. And not just funerals. I'm talking about people in the hospital, whatever the needs might be. We need to be able to go to each other's homes and bless them. Now, how can a deeper expression of love take place in the home? When you're at the restaurant, if you've got kids, it's sometimes an exercise in futility to try to have a conversation. But at home, you can just let them play in the playroom. And things work out, and you can have an environment that's personal that tends to work out. Let's make it a point to try to show hospitality, because sometimes I tell people, you don't know me until we've had our feet under the same table. Let's talk to one another. Let's get to know one another on a personal level, all of us. And we can do that, and hopefully we will. Now, how are we going to allow hospitality to bless our homes? That's our decision. I don't want to have a personal relationship. I want to kind of impersonally. No, that doesn't work well. That idea doesn't allow Proverbs 27:17 to do very much. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. As we rub our lives up against each other, we sharpen each other. And in the context of hospitality, that can take place. in a way that it can't when we don't do that. I know hospitality is hard work, but that's why God made crock pots and microwaves and sometimes carry-in dinners. But whatever it is, you can still have people over. Just show the kindness to one another. Well, it's a lot of miles out to my place. There's people that are willing to travel it. Let's do it. I have the advantage of being 0.8 miles from here. That's kind of nice. But wherever we are, we can show hospitality and would be blessed in doing that. Now, the lesson this morning is to make our homes havens for hospitality. Can we do that? We have been called. Not make sure, what did it say in Hebrews 13, verse 2? Don't forget. Make it a point. Pay attention. If you're going to pay something, pay attention to the need of showing hospitality. Well, Jack, I haven't done that much, but I can, and you can. I've had dinner in a lot of your homes, and I've just been to visit and had coffee in a lot of your homes. We can all do that, and we all need to be doing that, not just for the preacher, not even primarily for the preacher, but primarily for each other. To get to know each other, to have time that we share our lives with each other. We are a family, and we act like family. And one of the ways we act like family is hospitality. So, are you willing to make a commitment to try to do a better job of showing hospitality in your homes? That's the way the church started. Acts 2:46, they were daily in one another's homes, eating their meals together with glad and sincere hearts. That's the nature of the church. We follow the same Christ they followed. The same example of the same disciples, like Mary and Martha. If you've not yet committed your life to Christ, you don't have this motivation to show hospitality. If you're willing to make the commitment to follow Christ, you can be baptized into Christ this day. If you've already done that and you need us to pray with you about the strength to do whatever needs to be done in your life, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.